The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from the end of the book of 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter, and especially these words. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if young people still do this or not, but when I was a teenager, occasionally someone would get to meet someone so famous that they were completely starstruck. And if they were lucky enough to get to touch that person as they passed by or shake their hand, they would often decide to refrain from washing that hand for long periods of time. They might tell their friends, "I'll never wash this hand again." And many of them took their oath pretty seriously. They were careful who got to touch that sacred hand. They often refrained from showering all too often. And when they did take a shower, they would make sure that hand stayed out of the water in order to keep it good and dry. Of course, what pretty much everyone else knew around them was that all they were accomplishing, truly, was to keep that hand good and dirty. So I pondered our epistle lesson for this week, in which Paul prays that every last part of his Thessalonian Christians might be kept holy until the Lord Jesus returns. I began to wonder if that picture of the teenager holding the hand out of the washing water wasn't a pretty good illustration of how you and I often act towards God. I wondered if we don't sometimes act like those teenagers when it comes to thinking about God cleaning us up in preparation for his return. What do I mean? Well, you see, if we are honest, many of us, I think at times, do not really want to be completely clean. Oh, we want to have God's forgiveness in general. But there are certain parts of our life that we want him to sort of just leave alone. And we really don't want him to clean up. It is as if when we stand in the shower of God's forgiveness, we indeed hold that one hand out, not allowing God to clean it off as he should. And why would we do such an awful thing? Well, because oftentimes with our hands we have touched things that we value even more than our relationship with God. And we have come to understand that if God cleans us up, if he forgives us of our sins, not only does it remove the guilt of that sin, but also has the power to remove the sin itself. And sometimes those sins that our hands have touched have become way too precious to us. Sometimes we even take pride in those things that we have touched. Yes, sometimes it's almost like we say to God, "God, I will never wash this hand again." As we keep our hand out of the cleansing water of God's grace, in order that we might continue to hold on to those sins we love most. But as God surely knows, when we do that, all we do is end up with dirty hands. Perhaps our hands have touched success, however we define that. And so we don't want to clean up the way that we operate at work, lest we stop moving up that ladder. We don't want to stop talking poorly about people behind their back in order that they may not move up that ladder ahead of us. We might think that it's important that we continue to deal just a little on the dishonest side with fellow farmers if we're to decide that we are going to stay ahead in the game. Or perhaps it's that our hands have touched things or people that we desire greatly. And so we don't want to give up that relationship with that person we are currently in a relationship with who does not know Christ. Or we don't want to give up our sinful acts with that person that does know Christ. At the very least, we want our minds to have the freedom to wander wherever we desire. Or perhaps it's in our hand to touch something else. Something else that we love greatly. Perhaps it's gossip, or greed, or drunkenness, or sloth. I suppose it's different for each one of us. But the point is this. All too often, you and I want to keep one part of our lives unclean while asking God to clean up the rest. But there's real trouble with that plan. For you see, it's simply not how it works with God. And the proof of that will be seen on the last day. For on the last day, God will take with him into heaven only those who are completely holy. You see, there are no dirty hands allowed in heaven. For if he allowed such things, it would not be heaven. So on that last day, if we find ourselves attached to a dirty hand, we are in grave trouble. That's why Paul prayed for the Thessalonians, that they might be sanctified wholly, that they might have every last part of them cleaned up and kept blameless until the day the Lord Jesus returns. When you read this prayer of Paul in the King James Version, it's translated, "The Lord sanctify you wholly." The English Standard Version says, "The Lord sanctify you completely." I was surprised when I looked at the Greek underlying it. The word in the Greek actually means both of those things. It means holy with a W, and it also means completely. So perhaps the best translation would be both words. Holy, completely. Yes, God's prayer, or Paul's prayer to God, was that he would make the Thessalonians holy, completely holy. How is that for a mouthful? Or even more so, how is that for a life full? Yes, Paul prayed that his friends, his brothers and sisters in Christ, the children who he had brought to faith, might be completely holy on that last day. He prayed that not one part of them would remain dirty. He prayed that they would remain that way until the Lord Jesus returned. For he knew that when Jesus returned, he would only take people with him who were holy, completely holy. Because he knew if he did anything else again, it would not be heaven. So the scriptures are clear, nothing impure can enter in to there. What are you and I to do then to prepare for this last day? How is it that you and I know, who know of our sins so very well, will be able to make it past such a stringent test on that last day? How will we be found clean enough to get in? Well, indeed, we must recognize that the call today is for us to get into the shower of God's grace. We are to allow the water of God's grace to cleanse us from head to toe. Yes, we are even to bring those dirty hands and plunge them into that saving water. Yes, even our dirty hands that have touched on holy things must be cleansed. We must let God be the one that makes us completely holy. And he will. That was the confidence Paul prayed in. He said, "I can pray this for you because I know the one who does it, and he has promised to carry it out." Yes, God has promised to forgive us of all of our sins, all those sinful things that our hands have laid hold to during each week. He has promised then to clothe us in his own cleanness, and then he has promised to fill our lives with holy acts by giving to us the Holy Spirit. Yes, God is the one who does the cleansing. And so long as we do not hold our hands out of the water, we will be made by him holy, completely holy. And that being true, you and I will be found blameless on that last day. The one who has promises is faithful, and he will do it. So the only question left is, will you let him? Will you today go beyond simply confessing your general sinfulness with your lips, all the while hoping that your dirty hands won't be mentioned or cleaned? Or will you do more? Will you confess in your heart those specific sins which you love most, in order that they might be cleansed as well? Will you allow the Word of God to search your life daily so that your favorite sins can be made clean, and that you can live a life without them? Will you allow even your dirty hands to be clean? Today we watch as Cooper was made clean in the waters of holy baptism. And we indeed rejoice in that. But when I thought about our text today, I thought, you know, there's sort of one small problem with the picture we see here in our church. And while the scriptures make very clear that any application with water which trusts in God's word is a true baptism, the fact that we here in our church use sprinkling instead of immersion perhaps could leave us with a false impression. You see, as we watched today, all Cooper got wet was the top of his head. And so without the eyes of faith, we could be left thinking that that's all that got cleaned up on Cooper today. And then that could lead us to falsely think that only parts of us need to be cleaned as well. But all of that thinking is dead wrong. Indeed, Cooper today, although we only got the top of his head wet, was clean from head to toe and everything in between. And you and I need to remember that we constantly need that kind of cleaning in our life. We need, so to speak, to jump back into the promises of our baptism and let God clean us up, every last part of us. Cooper is wholly, completely clean. Every last part of him, spirit, soul, and body. And as long as you and I do not reject the working of a gracious God by holding our hands out of the cleansing flood of his forgiveness, so are we. Yes, you and I today, if we will confess all of our sins and allow God to wash us all over, we will leave here holy, completely holy. Amen.